wisdom that we can give our fellow church. I want to thank you for this support system that we can give our fellow church members, God. And I just pray for healing over us, God. I pray that that you would just be with us and let us continue to stay confident in your power, and let us stay confident in what you can do, God, so that we can know that we will come out in victory with this, in Jesus' name. And I just want to say thank you, God, because with every test and with every obstacle always comes a lesson, God. So I pray that we can use this opportunity to its fullest, God, and let us learn what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to ask that tonight you just keep an open heart for the things that God is saying. And Peter is really challenging me because I see in him so much regret in his writing and trying to make things right and trying to lead people to truth, because he didn't walk in truth. He walked with the Lord, but he didn't always walk in truth. And he got off and thought that he could handle things and recognized he couldn't. And he came back to center, and God never abandoned him. But he's trying to save us from those regrets. And I don't want to have those regrets. So tonight's text is simple. We're going to study tonight 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. And I've just entitled this, Be You in Him. Be You in Him. And your text tonight is just simply verse 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But 2 Peter is kind of like a God hug, okay? It's like he stands there, and we see in verses 3 and 4, he's providing something for us. We're going to look at those really quickly. But we also see, which we'll study not next week. Next week we will not be having regular church service because we're going to be in the kitchen. Okay? And I did want to say that next Wednesday at 9, if anybody has a truck and you'd be willing to use that truck next Wednesday at 9 to go with me to Sam's, let me know, because this is an answer to prayer. Mary Lou let me know that we're going to get all the pies and things that don't sell Wednesday because they're going to be closed Thursday for Thanksgiving. So we're going to have some. Not, isn't that awesome? Think about those at $10 a pop. I mean, that's not a little thing, okay? So, ma'am? Wednesday at 9 p.m. I figure we'll be up here anyway, but for those who could come and join me, I'm going to be at Sam's at 9 when they close, because I know they want to go home too. So, yeah, so I'm excited. So here's the first slice we're going to look at of this God hug that we're going to talk about, and that is the things right now God is providing. We see in 2 Peter 1, God's providing power for us. And these are the things that he said on your notes. You can follow with me or on the PowerPoint that he said he's going to do. He said that he's going to give us power so that we can have a Christian life and godliness. Now, Peter's not just teaching this. He's lived it. And many of us tonight are in a place of where we're making some decisions on how much we're going to trust the Lord. So while we're at that place of making those decisions, he's coming in here and saying to us, the power's already been provided for you. We know that there's a way to live, and that we can live a Christian life, and we can overcome trouble. But you're going to have trouble. And remember in 1 Peter 1, he's talking to them about all the tribulations and all the troubles that are coming, and how that you need to be prepared and you need to be ready because those things are coming. We also know that there's true knowledge. Matthew 4:8 backs this up. The word defeats the enemy. And guys, it's not just like a sword that punctures him and wounds him. It's a sword that says no to our minds, to our thoughts, and our emotions that get caught up with the things that the enemy feeds us. So he's given us the power to have true knowledge. The enemy's going to tell you there are things that God can't do. The enemy's going to tell you there are things that you can't do through God. And so I've got to have the true knowledge that there is nothing. If he would give his son, why would he stop the power flow? Right? So I've got to have that word to know that. Then there's the calling to magnify Jesus. In Psalm 69:30, David says, I'm going to magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. And really, what magnify Jesus is giving him praise and giving him credit. When you stand, and I'm hoping that many of you will this Sunday coming up, we need to build people's faith, not with hype, but with truth. What has God done in your life where you can look back and see where you were and where you are? Where are the things that you thought you were going to be defeated and you're still standing? And when we share those things with one another, we magnify Jesus and it encourages other people to keep believing. It's the power of the testimony. And he tells us in verse 4 that there are great and precious promises. And what he's saying is the promises are his nature, who he is. You know that when God says, I'm going to bless you, you know when God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that doesn't mean that when you get out of here and the enemy tells you, well, he won't leave you or forsake you, but, you know, you're going to have to go through this dark time without him. You're going to automatically know that that's not true because his promises are true to us, and Peter lived that, and it was proven that even in his not believing, in his turning away, in his betrayal, in his thinking he could handle it, Jesus still made a way to reconcile him to himself by going to Peter. It's an escape from the world's corruption. Hebrews 2:3 tells us, who can escape without salvation? Peter's telling him, your only hope is his word, because it's going to help you to escape the things that are coming. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have heartache here. But the only thing that's going to not just solve, but resolve it and uproot it from the roots up is the power of God. Anybody else in here ever been caught up in something and you just keep repeating the same thing over and over because you don't trust God and you just think you need to handle it on your own? And so you just, and Peter's coming in and he's saying, don't get on that treadmill that's going nowhere. Stay with him. And then he says that we can share in his divine nature. We see that not only in verse 4, but also in Acts 2:38. And it's interesting because Steve said Sunday that nowhere in the Bible does it talk about repent. And he was talking about the way we look at repent. Because certainly we know that Acts 2:38 says repent and be baptized. And it was Peter, he's talking. But here's the thing. Repent is not groveling and laying. We have the vision many times that repent means you come to the altar and you lay down here and you just tell God how horrible you are and how bad things are and how, you know, and we view that as repentance. That's not repentance. I may be sorry for my sin, but that's not repentance. Repentance, and you've heard Steve teach this a lot, the word is metanoe, and it means changing your mind about something. It really means when you come to the altar, here's what repentance is. Yes, you're sorry. Yes, you have remorse for it. But beyond that, you get up and you make up your mind, or whether you're praying by your bed or on your way home, wherever it is that you have that God moment, you realize this isn't working. You have to change your mind and recognize that is not going to profit me. I need to turn from those things and change my mind about it and look at it God's way. Look at it God's way. So many people have every reason in the world to be bitter and to be angry and to be full of unforgiveness. So many people in the world are looking to be victims. And here he's given us all these things that God's power can provide for us to overcome. Is he saying you're never going to hurt? No, he's saying here's what to do when you do hurt. So we're going to, that's tonight. Next, not next week, because we're going to be getting ready for Thanksgiving. But the week after, we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 10, and those tell us what our part is. That's me going into that embrace, because I just see 2 Peter only has 3 chapters. To me, the first part is God's promises, my part, and then verse 9 to the end of the chapter is God again coming with his part. It's just like a love hug, and he's letting us know, yes, there's some things that are going to be required on your part. But here's where I want to back up and talk about this word tonight as a living word for today. Anybody in here just been facing fear? Anybody in here just been really facing some things where it makes you just go, God, you know, how's this going to work out? Anybody? Yeah. Well, when I was studying this, I realized that in 2 Peter, in this letter, he starts off and he says, this is from Simon Peter. In 1 Peter, he just says, this is from Peter. But in 2 Peter, he says, from Simon Peter. Now, there's a lot of theological discussions and studying, and you'll see that some people actually don't even believe he wrote it. But when you start out saying, this is Simon Peter, a letter to, you kind of think. But because the word precious and some other words are used, they're trying to say that it wasn't Peter. And the truth is, Jude could have written it. It's written in the style of Jude. He could have written it for Peter. But at this point, Peter's in prison, and he's in Rome, and he's in prison. Isn't it interesting that Paul and Peter are writing some beautiful letters while they're in prison in Rome? And all that says to me is, when you don't have anything else but God, you'll do your best work. Yeah, Selah. But anyway, I think that the reason he's doing this, guys, he says, this letter is from Simon Peter. Simon means weak. Peter means rock. I think he's saying to the church, guys, I'm somebody who knows what it's like to be weak and to be strong. And I'm telling you, I'm coming to you as a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You can only be who you're destined and created to be with God's leading. Anything else you're following is going to take you down a different path because other things are meant to control, to get you to do something for an outcome. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you go in the military, they try to break everything down from you. They try to break down all your what you think you know so that you will be completely dependent on their word. Not because they're a bunch of whack jobs, but because they know that in the heat of the battle, if you don't listen to that one voice, you will get confused and think you know better, and it could save your life. So I think that God is better than the greatest generals. And you know, when we studied the book of Revelation, we talked about how the Jewish culture and their strategies for war are the most studied in all the world. And it's because the favor of God gave them ideas and insights. But other people want you to follow what they're saying. I need to follow what my employer says because he's paying me to do a job to benefit him. I get that. But I'm talking about the things where people say, oh, you deserve that. You just ought to go out on a binge. You deserve it. It's been rough. And Peter's coming in here and he's telling us, by the power of God, you don't need that because that is going to keep you dependent on that. And there's people who don't want to change. I think it's 2 Corinthians 3:15, I think, where it says that they won't come because of it. They won't turn because of it. It is their heart. Guys, there's going to be people that don't want to change because they don't want to get rid of the things that are in their life. And so they choose not to love God and not to serve him in this way, to be a slave and an apostle, which is what you and I are called to be. And without being that, without being a slave and an apostle, which is what we're going to talk about, we don't have any meaning in life. What do you mean be a slave? There was a tradition that after a slave was set free, you know, there was the year of Jubilee and they were set free. There was years of service and they would be set free. But sometimes slaves realized that they had it because their master had been a friend to them. And they recognized that, hey, in this house, there's provision. In this house, I've got a sense of family. And it was that way. And so they would go out, and there was a post, and they would go and pierce the upper part of the ear to with an AWL. I'm so Southern, it sounds like OWL, so I'll just say whatever. They would pierce that ear to the doorpost, and that would say, I know I'm free, but I'm choosing to stay of my own accord. And this is what Peter said. I've been set free, but I'm making a choice to choose to stay with Christ. I was keeping Eli and Gemma the last couple of weeks. I've had them on the weekends. And Gemma has started this. She's three. And she started this new thing with me. Anytime she doesn't want to do something, she'll say, well, my mama said. And I'll say, you know, you need to eat your breakfast. My mom said I don't have to eat breakfast. I'm like, Gemma, your mom is not here. Your mom did not say that. You need to eat your breakfast. So Eli, who's, you know, he's eight. So Eli says to me, honey, you have said at least 30 times to Gemma, your mother didn't say that. Why are you doing it? I said, because Gemma is trying to use her mother as a card not to have to follow my authority. And that's not going to work. And I said, so when you hear me say it, back up and remember, Gemma just said, mama said. You know, we're going to take a bath. My mama said I could have more bubbles. My mama said. And so we're doing that, and we're talking about this with Gemma. So we got ready to go to bed, and she said, my mom said I don't have to go to bed. And so Eli's, you know, we're getting ready to say our prayers. So he's in the room. He goes, now, Gemma, mom did not say that. She goes, yes, her did too. Her said it. She's giving this ugly face. And I said, Gemma, that's a lie. Mom did not say that. Now we're going to pray. And she said, okay. And God help mom to not get bugs in her police car and help my daddy not to get fired. He's a fireman. She doesn't mean like exterminated from the job. She means burned up. God help my dad not to get fired and that my mom said that I can stay up. And she's just going to try it one more because she's three. She's three and she's learning. But you know what? That little girl knows the power of authority. And she knows that when her mom says to do something, she's going to do it because her mom's the authority. And so because that's her authority, she's trying to pull authority on me. So I thought about that night. I was like, Lord, help me. So the next day when we get up, sure enough, it's whatever mom said I could watch Puppy Pals or whatever. I said, Gemma, your mom's not here. And when your mom's not here, honey's the boss. And she goes, no, you're not. My mama is the boss. And she just started crying. I said, Gemma, tonight your mom's going to be the boss again. But right now I'm the boss and you have to do what I say. So I told Tiffany. So I had the kids Sunday after church, kept them Sunday night there so they could go to school, got them to school. So Tiffany hadn't left for work yet. She works 6 at night to 6 in the morning. So if you don't see her here on Sunday, it's because she had to work that shift. And Jake was on call. So anyway, so I go over there, and Tiffany hasn't left for work yet by the time I get the kids over there. So I'm fixing supper, and we're sitting down. She said, my mama said I don't have to eat that chicken. And I said, Gemma, your mom is not in this room, and she did not say that. And I talked to Tiffany about it. And I said, she did not say that. And she went, yes, she did. And just mouthed it and kind of did this. 3 years old. And Eli goes, Gemma, mom did not say that. And so I just held up my hand like, I'll be the authority figure here. About that time, Tiffany comes around the corner and she goes, what did you say? And she went, and she said, what did you say, Gemma? Did you tell honey I said that? And she went, she said, Gemma, don't tell that to honey. You obey, honey. Whatever she tells you to do, you're going to do it. And Tiffany turned around and she went. And I went, I just waited till I said, Gemma, you're going to obey your mom. And you're going to obey, honey. And she went. And after that, I only had one more incident. And then I reminded her, remember what your mother said? And now the tables are turned and I'm telling her what your mother said. Now that's kind of a funny story. But you know what? That's how we are as believers. We get something in our mind. Guys, we can even use the word of God to say, well, I don't have to do that. Or he says, you know, that if they do this, they need to get that. And we mirror stuff off on other people. And we want God's authority to work over them. But we don't want to yield to it. Oh, they need to. But, and so Peter's coming back and saying, no, we have to yield to the Lord. It's his authority. I can't hold unforgiveness because I was wronged. Is there anybody in here who's never been wronged? Nobody's ever done anything wrong to you. I'm checking for the lie meter. I'm just kidding. Okay, so we all know we've been wronged. And honestly, every one of us could raise our hands and say, the way I've been wronged was bad. Can you agree with that? I mean, there's things that have happened that were absolutely wrong and unfair. But what Peter is telling us tonight is the only way you're going to get over that, the only way you're going to prosper, the only way you're going to get past it is when you have the power of God in your life to move you past that into the place where you recognize him. And that you are a slave and an apostle. And we're going to share the two meanings of slave and apostle tonight because some of those have such horrible connotations with them. Terry Clark, I wrote a little quote that I read from him today on his prayer list. It says, we are broken human beings and we don't naturally give up our personal sovereignty or control even to our human father, much less to look and listen past our superficial senses to see and hear God's fatherly correction and guidance through everyone and everything. Everything that God has allowed to happen in your life is positioning you for victory. You know, when you go to a doctor and they give you those little shots, the small dose, it's so the bigger thing doesn't overtake you. And I want to tell you, I believe God's been giving us some small doses and we're telling him, you're killing me. And it's because we aren't calling on his power. We're just judging his right in our life. So we're going to discuss servant and apostle. Peter is letting them know, here's my identity. Here's who I am. He doesn't say, I'm the first papal pope, because he's in Rome, and that's the Catholics say he was the first pope. He never says, I'm the big deal. He always says, I'm a servant, and I'm an apostle. And he always puts servant first. And if we get nothing else out of this book tonight, I want you to understand who a servant is. A servant is someone who is willing to put the needs of someone else first. A waitress may be a servant. Maybe it's mercenary because that's her job and she has to do it. Or, you know, he's going to get a bonus if he gets so many, you know, tickets written that night at the restaurant or whatever it is. Maybe they're motivated that way. But what Peter is saying is, I am a servant of God. Because what Jesus did to Peter, he's wanting to do for us in this room tonight. I believe that when Jesus washed their feet, it was a prophetic moving for everywhere they were going to go because the washing of the feet represented the filth of the world being removed. And it was an act of courtesy. In fact, between where you entered the house and the house, the door, you know, the thing that we call take the bride over the threshold, and generally most houses it's built up. In this house, it was down. It was dug out spot in between the doorpost. And it was filled sometimes with water so that when they came in, the host would get down and wash their feet before they entered the house, not because, you know, mama wanted clean, but because it was a courtesy to say, I'm going to wash off the remnants of your weariness and your travel to get here, and it's going to be a refreshing. You ever just stuck your feet in a lake, how refreshing that is? Or a swimming pool and just feel it's refreshing. So Jesus did that. And here's Peter who's about to betray him, and Jesus knows it, and he tells him, and he washes his feet. So Jesus, Peter had experienced what it felt like to have that touch of Jesus. I know what it feels like to have that touch of Jesus. But guys, when the world presses in on us, and this is what Peter's aligning them up for. We've studied Caesar Nero and how crazy he was and all the horrible things that were happening. But when Peter's writing this, this is actually about 66 A.D. And at like the end of 67 A.D. or the beginning of 68 A.D. is where scholars believe he was crucified. He died for the cause. So his last teachings, he's coming in and saying, you've got to know who you are because I know who I am. And if you don't know who you are, you're going to be led astray. And here's Jesus who said in Matthew, I am a servant to all, but I'm not equal with my Father, but I serve because of my Father. So he's coming in and he's just saying, I got it. The light has gone on. I recognize that unless I stay focused to him and serving his needs and serving what he has told me and retelling that story to you and us retelling it to our children and to those who are discouraged, because we will be discouraged in this world. And you know, I tell you all the time, I have to eat it before I can teach it. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm getting tired of eating some of this dry stuff because the Lord has taken me to places I don't think I've ever been in my walk. But they're darker places. They're not the brighter. It gets brighter than it's ever been too, but it's darker than it's ever been. So I'm going to tell you a little story. So, you know, I've just been laying before the God, you know, Lord, you know, I trust you, and I get up, but it's still in my mind. Don't act like I'm the only one. Y'all are like, oh, blank faces. What in the world could she be talking about? But, you know, I'm like, God, you know, here's the deal. And, Lord, I trust you, and I leave this, and I try to repent. I try to change my mind about who needs to fix it, and I try to change my mind about how it needs to be fixed. And I think sometimes that's why things get darker, is because he wants you to see you don't have a light. I'm the light. And the light lives in you. And the light is a reflection of me through you. And if you want to do this, it's going to stay dark. And I'm like, okay. So this may sound really silly, and I don't care. So we, you know, needed tablecloths for Thanksgiving. So I'm going to get these tablecloths. So Renee had asked for brown. It's hard to find plastic tablecloths anymore that aren't just like so cheap that they just like rip when you look at them. I feel like Superman. You know, they just rip. So I'm like, oh. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to pay a little more. And I'm going to get a nicer one because when they're wiping them, I don't want them to, and I don't want them to see the table through the tablecloth. Ugh. So I go looking for brown, round tablecloths, and I can't find them. So I'm like calling all the, nobody has them. So I made up my mind, and I thought, well, you know what? I'll just go to Hobby Lobby, and I'll just buy the gold ones. If they don't have brown, I'll buy gold. I'll pay $4 a tablecloth. I'll just get them. It's not a deal. I want it to be nice. So I go to Hobby Lobby, and I'd call, and she said, they don't make brown. Listen, don't try to fix me. I've already called Party City and, you know, Walmart, and I could go through the list of who I've called, okay? So Renee and I get on the phone with her, and I said, Renee, they don't make them. I said, so here's the thing. I was like, next year we're just going to have to October 1 make sure we have these tablecloths. She's like, Amazon. Woo, I love Amazon. I'm like, okay, whatever. So she's like, Gay, listen, whatever you can find we'll work with. I'm like, okay. Well, I didn't want orange and yellow because anybody who knows me knows I'm like a color freakoid. Like, I want things to be in order pretty. Like, I switch these pumpkins out if they get moved, you know, after the carpet. I'm like that. So I go to Hobby Lobby and I look, and, you know, they have this stuff on 50% off, but the tablecloths, they do have brown ones, but they're long ones. I'm like, ugh. And they were $1.99, so they're only going to be a dollar, but they're the thick ones. I'm like, oh. So I walk over to where the others are. Oh, man, we don't have gold. We don't have burgundy. I thought, wouldn't that be pretty rich, full colors of fall? No. We have orange, we have yellow, we have pink, we have, I was like, ugh. And the red looked like dark orange. I was like, ugh, don't want Christmas, you know. So I'm thinking all these thoughts, and I'm walking around this store, and I'm thinking. And I just thought, you know, I guess I could take those tablecloths and cut them in half and tape them, you know. And they wouldn't be round, but it would cover, but it would hang over. Who would notice it, Gay? Only you. You're just a freak. So I go back over to those tablecloths, and Sean, I'm just looking at those tablecloths, and I'm thinking, so surely there looks like there's about, you know, 30 of the brown ones, and I'm thinking, okay, cut them in half, I'll have plenty. I'll just buy the orange, you know, and the brown to go on the dessert table and whatever. And I'm standing there. Listen, I know how silly this sounds to you, but I'm standing there, and a man walks up in front of me, and he puts, I'm standing here, I'm looking at the table. I was on the bottom shelf, and he puts up a sign here that says 80% off all fall. And I went, God? And I'm like, right now, it's still, because God is in my details, guys. And I get so hung up on these big things, I can't see him in front of me taking care of the details. So I'm like, oh, my goodness. And there's these little cute fall aprons that say be thankful, and they've got little ruffles. And I'm always trying to think of something I can give to the little donut lady who fixes our donuts on Sunday morning because she's so precious. Like, oh, I'm going to buy her an 80% off apron. Oh, my goodness. I'm like, you know, like $20. I'm paying like $4 for it. Right? I can't buy the material for that. I'm all excited, and, you know, and then I'm thinking, oh, I could buy napkins, and I'm just going crazy in my mind and everything. And so I'm filling the cart with, there's like 41 tablecloths. I just cleaned them out. So I saw these little happy birthday Jesus things for the kids, and I want them to have them. And I knew that if you don't buy them when you see them, they'll all be gone, because I don't go that often. So it's like, I'm going to buy these happy birthday things. So I bought the happy birthday things. Happy birthday, Jesus. Yes. So I got those, and Steve's mom, Bernice, is with me. She's been to the doctor that day. We've had a long day yesterday. So we get up to the counter, and tears just, you know, I'm just so grateful over these tablecloths. And I said, I'm sorry I didn't count those. Would you like for me to help you? And she goes, no, I'll count them. And so at that point, one of the managers comes over, and, you know, not to be bad or anything, just as a matter of fact, she looked like a, you know, punker, you know, punk tattoos, you know, punk hair and all this stuff. And so I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. She goes, I'll help you count them. So she takes part of them. Well, I'm shaking so hard I can, and I'm crying so hard, and all I can say is, God, you are so good. God, you are so good. God, thank you. God, you're so good. And I'm saying it just like, not loud, but just about how I said it just then. And the girl looks at me, and I said, I'm sorry. My hands are shaking, like I'm just overwhelmed. Okay, I'm overwhelmed with the goodness of God at 80% off. So, I'm blinking and everything. And so she goes, now these Christmas party goods are not half off. And I was like, that's fine. They won't be here later. And the manager looks over and she goes, give her to them at 50 off. And I went, are you kidding me? I was like, God, you're so good. I was like, thank you. You know, and I'm crying. I was like, I said, I can't see how to sign this thing. She goes, well, take a minute, quit shaking. I was like, okay. And so Bernice is behind me. She goes, you don't understand. She goes, she just needed some good news. And I didn't even know that. But when she said it, I was like, I needed good news tonight. I really did. And I'm like, boo-hooing at this point. And the little clerk has finished checking me out, and she looks at me, and she goes, you just saved $293. And she goes, people like you just, you amaze me. I said, no, God is amazing. Really, it's God, and he's amazing. And she goes, yes, he is. He is amazing. And I said, the fact that he cares about my details, you don't even get what I'm telling you. And she said, what are you going to do with all these tablecloths? I said, well, our church has this thing. And so I thought I could make an X out of them at that price, right? I can crisscross them, you know, and it may not, you know, who will really know, but it'll be a nice thick tablecloth. And I was, and it was the same price as the other, and my mind is just spinning because it's brown and that's what Renee wanted, and I'm just like, every little thing. And so we get in the car, I put Bernice in the car, and I'm getting in there, and I'm still just crying and shaking. And I remember this lesson, because he says, if you are the servant, if you're the servant and you're doing things like you believe God would do them, and you're serving people out of that same love, that you just want the details to be right for them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You want the details to be right for them. Why would God withhold the detail from me? And that's what Peter is telling them. I'm a servant of God, because I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And when you are serving and you're looking out for someone else and for their details, God's going to supply what you need. And then Mary Lou calls today and she's like, hey, the rest of the pies, you know, whatever's left over after Wednesday night, if you can meet me up there at 9, I'm going to give you the rest of everything. We'll just give it all to you. And I'm like, you know, $1,000 in pies, get a grip of what I'm telling you. And then the food bank comes today, and they had to do a follow-up inspection, and Cheryl worked so hard over there. She's here tonight. And what did they say, Cheryl? She said, yes. And she said, you're the only ones who are opened on Thanksgiving. That's why you're getting the favor you're getting, because you're the only one who's going to be open. So Blue Apron's going to pull up and give us produce so we won't have to buy onions and celery. Like, you guys act like I'm buying one bunch of onions and two, you know, celery and, or reverse that, sound like Willy Wonka, two onions and one bunch of celery. But the truth is, you're buying for over 1,000 people to serve over 1,000 people. It's a lot of money. And God is bringing it to us. And so I'm just telling you. Then I'm like, okay, so you don't want us to, like, you know, close down the church and everything, you know, because your mind just spins off in fear. Like, where are the people, God? Where are the finances? Where's the, you know, what does the enemy say? What are you doing wrong? And you have to say, I will be a servant of God, but not just a servant. I'm going to be an apostle. Now, it's dangerous today to think about an apostle, because that means I have to start wearing a collar. That means y'all have to bring me water, and you have to follow me, and somebody has to carry this purse. And I just want to thank Nelda Metter for my new purse. She got tired of me carrying my old one. She said, I'm tired of seeing you carrying that same purse. She bought me a new purse. So I'm going to carry that one until one of y'all buys me another one. I'm just kidding. So, one of y'all have to start carrying my purse. And then y'all going to have to start. Do you understand what I'm saying? We use things that are in the Bible to mean that I'm better than you. And what Peter's telling them is, I am equal with you. And I'm Simon, I'm weak, and I'm Peter. He did not identify himself like that in the others. But he's saying, I recognize where I came from and who I am today. And both of them have value. Because until you recognize where you came from, you're never going to be grateful for who you are. And until you recognize who God is in you today, you're going to take credit for it and become weak and stay in the dark. So he's saying, come on, and now I'm an apostle. All that an apostle really means is you're somebody who goes and shares Jesus. I've told you many times, everyone in this room is a missionary. Christian Center is a missions church. You are a missionary. If you're in the grocery store, that's your mission field. You don't get, you better double them coupons up at her, you know, or who's going to bag my groceries and take them out for me? That's your mission field. You're not an apostle to be served. You are to serve. Listen, I'm with you. More times than not, I've had to bag my own groceries to help a clerk out who didn't have somebody. But I did it as unto the Lord because I would say something about the Lord to let her know, this is why I'm helping you. You know, God is good, and girl, we're going to get this stuff bagged up, and he's going to give you and me both strength, and we're going to get this done. Right? Because I'm an apostle. And when I do that, when I tell about his goodness, it's not to make me look good. This is where we've gotten this whole thing, the apostle, bishop, holy man of God, you know, whatever. I'm not holy. But he is in me and he is holy. And I am holy with him. And that's what I'm telling you tonight. Be you in him. Be you in him. Be who you're meant to be, but you're only going to be it on him. If it's in the metal, boop, 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 warning, warning, she's about to meddle. Oh, you know, it's been so bad, and the girls at the office, and they know that I love the Lord, and the Lord knows that I love him. So tonight I'm just going to go out, and we're just going to have a drinking good time, because I'm telling you, I just need to numb me so I can get me some rest. Question, when you wake up, how did that rest feel? Question, do you have more money in your wallet or less? Question, who's with you the next day to help you get over the hangover and give you something that isn't going to keep you repeating yourself into that pattern? Meddling done. Clear the area. I'm just saying. Guys, think about it. Because this is what we're going to study, not next week, but the week after. What is our part? There is a responsibility in response to what he's giving us. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm sure of it. I know I'm going to heaven, but it's not because of my good works. But I am accountable and responsible to him to be a servant and an apostle of his at all times. And all that means is I'm going to magnify him by giving him thanks and letting people see. And when that little cashier looked at me, and as Steve would say, well, you may have saved $293, but you spent $120. Yeah. See how you are? Yeah. But let me just tell you something. When that little girl said, people like you amaze me. And I said to her, it's God. God is amazing. And I could hardly see for the tears in my eyes. But when I look back up and she's crying and the manager is just doing this too. I'm telling you, that was a God moment in that store. Because God wants to touch people with the truth that he cares about me. He's going to give me those discounts. And Bernice says, it happens to her all the time. Everywhere we go, things like that happen to her. Yeah, she's my witness. And I'm begging God for the green in the wallet, and he's given me the discount. Hello? Right, because I'm human. This is what Peter's saying. God can help you over those thoughts and emotions that nullify his value in your life. And if you'll start praising him for the things that he is doing, then you can trust him with the bigger thing because you know he's working on your details. And guys, I want you to know, he's working on our details in this church. He is working on our details. He is healing people left and right. He's not doing that so that we can go, well, you know, praise God, you know, he led me to the right doctor. Yay, he led you to the right doctor. Give him the credit that he gave you the right doctor who knew what he was doing. Give him the credit that he healed you, that he took care of you, that he let you know when to go and when to stay and what to do and how to do it. Give God the credit because I am his servant and he's taking good care of me. Listen, if those servants who were slaves in the Bible wanted to reattach themselves to the master because of how good they were to him, that wasn't just at the end, here's a bonus, stay with me. It was day in and day out. And many of these slaves were counselors to these people. They listened. The master didn't just use them for back labor. They ministered to their family members. And they took in their counsel and listened to them. Luke, who was basically a slave, was a physician to a rich man and a rich family because he knew some things. He's the one who recorded the book, but he recorded the book of Luke, for those of you who were here when we studied Luke. His whole purpose was so that his master could understand the goodness of who God was, because he did not understand those concepts, and Luke did. Man, he was an apostle to his master. You're an apostle. You and I are missionaries. Now, I don't want to see y'all coming in here Sunday with some collars up in here expecting, you know, robes and chains and things. And that's okay if that's where people are. I'm good with it. I'm good with it. But I'm not good with it here, because we have a mission and we have a calling. And we're going to see that calling through. And God's going to help us, and God's going to help you. And I'm going to close tonight with Oswald Chambers' quote. We can all see God in exceptional things, but it requires the growth of spiritual discipline to see God in every detail. And that was a writing from My Utmost for His Highest. And that was from November the 14th. And I'm like, God, you're in the details. You're in the details. But who I want you to be tonight, I want you to be you in Him. And if He's telling you you can be what the world tells you you are, go for it. If you can show me this is what He says you can be, do it. Because this is going to prosper you. I'm holding up the Bible for those of you who are listening on the internet. This is what's going to make it for you. And it's not just that you know and you can quote the word. I know His nature. And His nature is what we need, because it's the natural man that wants to succumb to the world and give up and quit and move back and take time off. We don't have time off in the kingdom. So I'm just going to tell you tonight in Gemma-like terms. My God said that He'll supply all your needs. My God said, you don't have to have a broken heart. My God said, He'll heal your heart. My God said, you don't have to fear. My God said that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And my God said, He'll never leave you and never forsake you. And that's an authority that I've got the word on. And nobody else should override that authority. Nobody else but God. Amen. You'll stand with me tonight. Be you in Him. Who we were and who we are. Who we're becoming. I want to be responsible with the love that He's given me. Because the only person. Listen, He would have sent somebody else to that cashier if it hadn't been me. But I wouldn't have got it. We're missing our blessings because we think we're all about other people, when really God's not going to do anything for somebody else unless He does it through you first. You're not going to give and outgive God. When you do what you do because you want to give Him glory, you're going to benefit. You will benefit in your spirit, man, and in a way, because He says without faith it's impossible to please God. And that just builds my faith. God, if you can do that. Like, I'm over on the other side of the store, and I just think, okay, I'll go back and cut them in half. Boom, 80%. I'm like, what? Yeah. I want to love Him the way He loves me. And that's what Peter's saying. Don't do my stupid. Don't have these regrets that keep you wasting your time. Be you in Him. Because here's the things He's provided for you. And then we'll study about the things that we're going to do our part, and we're just going to get that sealed-in hug, because the end of this chapter is going to come and tell us what His part is in response. Amen? Those of you who are just in fear right now, or you've just had, you know, you feel pressed, I'd like for you just to lift your hand right now. I want to pray for you. guys, if you see somebody with a lifted hand, you want to go pray with them, move out. I'm all for it. But we're going to stand in faith tonight for one another, for the details, and we're going to trust God that He's going to answer our prayers. Lord, tonight I just thank You right now, God, that You are moving by Your Spirit, God, that You are lining us for victories, God, that we're facing the darkness to bring You. You're not shoving me in the darkness to hide me and hurt me. I'm there to bring You. And Lord, tonight we repent. We change our mind about it. We say, God, You're greater than my emotions. You're greater than my feelings. You're greater than the threats that I'm hearing in my mind. You're greater than this pressure. And God, You will show me if it's a yes or a no. God, do what You need to do. Do what You need to do, God, because I can trust You that You're going to take care of me. But God, I pray that what You do, You make clear to me. I don't want to take missteps because I'm trying to operate outside of You and figure You out. I'm asking You tonight, God, to do a sovereign work in my life because I give You control, because my dad said He would supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Because my dad said He will never leave me nor forsake me. And God, You're no respecter of persons. Let other people in this room tonight, God, accept that favor. Accept that blessing that You want to pour out over their lives through provision and through peace of mind. In Jesus' name, I say to the darkness, no more. In Jesus' name, I say to the fear, God, God will deal with you, and I will trust God. Lord, tonight, let us come awake as to who we are in You and the power that You have for us to overcome. And I give You thanks for that tonight, Lord. Now, God, go into that hospital room and touch Dave Roberts right now. We're sending it out with love. Touch Linda Sims right now. Touch your daughter, Rochelle. Touch Nell Demeter tonight before her procedure tomorrow, God. Touch Your people. Heal Becca Fuller, Lord. Heal our sister. Lord, heal those in this room who are working in oppressive workplaces. Heal them and show them yes or no, God, for the things that they're asking You for. I just thank You tonight, God, because You are a loving, merciful God. And we cry out tonight, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace to cover us. And I thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, and that's right. Thank You for that extra ooh back there. All right. Just let God continue to speak to your heart and love on you. He's answering our prayers. So, Leanne, do you know what time next Wednesday everybody's coming up?